This is day 3 of the October 2006 retreat in Springwater. Walking down the road a little while ago, it was just quite a surprise how cold the air is. Fresh, cold air. And there was a noticing of a tensing up. Kind of a physical manifestation of energy against this cold air, coldness. And noticing that, it was a letting up. Just feeling it completely. And also noticing a thought, I'm not ready for winter. Which was not at all appropriate to the moment, because the moment was quite bundled up with a winter coat, hood over, gloves on. It's amazing. Thought, does it tell us the truth of this moment? Or was it yet another expression of a kind of attitude of resistance that all is needed is to see it, the moment it comes up, if that's possible. Allowing the wind to blow right through one. It's not even blowing through one. There's no one to blow through. I thought I would say some words about sitting. not much has really been said in this retreat specifically about sitting. Many of us have been to some kind of a retreat before or have done some sitting. Maybe some of us, not very much. And as was said at the beginning of the retreat, everything here, except for the work period, is optional. So that goes for the availability of time and space for sitting. But that's pretty much a good part of what most of us come here for. That opportunity in quiet to take time to sit motionlessly. There's a kind of agreement when we enter the sitting room for a round of sitting that we all sit quietly, somewhat motionlessly, not in a rigid way. We all, at one time or another, find ourselves moving or maybe shifting a posture. We don't make hard and fast rules about these things here. Although I trained at a Zen center where it was amazing, the monitors were watching everything. And if there was just the slightest movement or move of the head, somebody would yell, "No moving!" I can imagine the tension and need to be something, a good sitter. So not talking about that. What we're looking at is this sitting possibility of sitting in a relaxed and yet alert way. Relax the body, if it's possible. It's not braced up towards something or against something, but just allowing it to be how it is. But energy gathered. Sometimes it's mentioned, it's helpful, low down in the low belly area, so that the breathing could almost feel it, not to make a thing of it, but if just there's a noticing of breathing low down. And an alertness, a wakefulness to all that's here. This open listening that's more than just the ears. All the senses open, undivided. And it's very natural, one could say, common experience of all of us that entering into this silence not doing our usual activities day to day, our usual entertainments, that otherwise covered over, hidden, I'll say conditionings, manifest. Maybe they've already been manifested, but we're just covered over by our usual activities, busyness, or what have you. One of these conditionings of this organism, body-mind, network, is what we call fear. Let me just say right now, does it help for those of us that are either new to this work or maybe old to this work or whatever, that to hear that fear manifests itself in this organism as well? Given the right causes and conditions, I don't mean right as opposed to right or wrong, but just unfathomable what might at any moment or moments bring this about. When I trained at the Zen Center, one of the admonitions that was heard quite a bit, if one had any kind of problem or issue or something coming up, the admonition was, sit on it. Sit on it. And after leaving the Zen Center, when we left, and the approach here was quite a bit more gentle and open, without too many admonitions. There was a sense here of a certain resistance to that, hearing that voice of sit with it. Also because it had so many negative connotations and associations with it, because of that training, which was very severe, a lot of hitting and beating with a stick. But in looking at it in an open, gentle, non-pressured way, There's wisdom in that, in being still in the midst of what all is going on. It doesn't need to be in some rigid posture. We don't have lounge chairs in the sitting room, although somebody brought that up in the last retreat. Why not? But they're out on the balcony and in the dining room. And yet, no matter what posture we may assume, after a while, even within maybe the 25 minutes that we've agreed to be quiet in discomfort may arise. There are some people that seem to say that it just never occurs, but I think for most of us it comes up. Some physical discomfort, emotional discomfort, it's all one system. Might not even know where it all is coming from, but there it is, something there's the urge to move away from. And it may not be just getting up and walking out of the room, it could be just needing to move the body in some way, but just to find out and wonder in a moment of silent stillness, movements, all subtle and gross, can be noticed. I don't mean gross as a judgment, but larger movements. Maybe the energy moves one to get up, to go for a walk. Some need to release this energy. That doesn't mean that this open listening being can't be there. In the walking, in the looking at the incredible vast sky here. Somebody said how much they love to sit up at the pond. It's an incredible spot. Seems to take in everything. Distant hills, sky. Still water or the ripples on the top of the water. Rustling leaves. at any moment, are we moving away from something here? That for whatever reason doesn't want to be touched. Somebody said yesterday, the fear of touching fear. There's a line from a Jackson Brown song that had come to mind. Something like, no matter how far I run, I can never seem to get away from me. Actually, the other line is something like, no matter where I am, I can't help thinking I'm just a day away from where I want to be. Very honest expression of this me. And here in the quiet of retreat is an opportunity to come upon all the more subtle manifestations of this me circuit. It's one way to call it. But is this what I truly am? All the myriad conditionings of fear and wanting. The thoughts we have about ourselves that we tell ourselves, how we are, how each of us is, a story about ourselves and each other. Changing moods, sensations that change, in witnessing, or observing all this, one might think I'm the observer. Is that another image? Do we know what we are? in thought, in picture, image. Hesitates to even put a word on it. Silence, stillness. Undivided from the hum of the motor. Sitting quietly, trees in the sky, stars at night, our cat friend. Cuddled up on the bench out front. I don't remember if it was something I read somewhere or if it came up here. Maybe it doesn't matter, but it was that love is the expression. Of this pure. Pure is such a loaded word. Of this stillness. Love meaning an embracing of what is here. What manifests itself in this body, mind, at this moment. Because on some deeper level it's understood it's not the essence of what we are. And in embracing it here, it's embracing all of us. How we are. Allowing to be just as it is. Such a tall order, it seems, doesn't it? To meet our co-workers, relatives, so-called strangers. See them as oneself. Someone had asked about what to do in this world of so much suffering. Which, when we turn on the news or read the paper, it seems endless, endless. Some parts of the world where it's a daily task to just find basic, clean drinking water to survive. All the brutality. There's a part of one that thinks and says, is this necessary? Do we really need to live like this? Maybe it comes from an open heart, a question like that. I don't know what to tell someone to do. I couldn't do that. I think we just need to find our own way, which isn't our own way, but what manifests here. It may be different for each of us. But in whatever we find ourselves doing, can there be a watching of image creation? Watching of guilt feelings, maybe feeling not doing enough. Image of being a victim. Self-righteous images of I know what to do and I'm going to tell you. Whatever serves to create the idea of enemy, of an enemy. Can we watch that in ourselves? What creates a sense of us and them? couple of years ago. This is before the Iraq war began. There was going to be a rally in downtown Rochester, and because part of the week I spend time there in Rochester, this rally was just a couple of blocks from our house there. And I'd never been to a rally like that, even through the Vietnam War years. And I think because it was brought up here on a number of occasions whether there isn't something to doing something like attending a rally, there was some curiosity here about it, and so I thought, okay, I'll walk a couple of blocks down there and check it out. And I remember just as I turned the corner, heading down to downtown, there was a palpable sense of me that now has a position. It's amazing. So I was noticed and continued in the noticing, it lightened up and continued to walk downtown. And there were two sides. It was the major road in between, and on one side of the road, a lot of flags waving. And on the other side, actually there were a couple of flags. And so there were people supporting military action. And on the other side, people gathering to say, don't go to war. I think that was also part of it. It was a sense of maybe if there are just enough numbers of people showing up at these things, it might have an impact. But in the back of the mind, I had severe doubts that would really matter. But so walking across the street, meeting up with a friend, and looking and watching, people with the slogans of God bless America, or what all was there. For that moment, there was no sense that it was me and them. What all brought them to be on that side of the road. Causes and conditions. There's no one to blame. Is that possible in watching politicians now in the heat of this time of year, of election and all, the emotions a charge to watch that. To watch what creates division. Is that what's important? Not so much what we do in the world. Whether it's considered a lofty position or job or menial task. In the eyes of the world, so-called world, it may have meaning, but we have to come upon it for ourselves, what's truly important. It's a quote from Krishnamurti, and it rings true in watching, that what we do and say and think brings either disharmony or love and peace to this world. End there.